Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. I hope that you are ready to get in sync with God this new year and walk with Him and talk with Him and let Him have His way and His will and fulfill His grandest purpose in your life. We're going to talk about some things today that I believe are very valuable to you as a Christian, that you might understand what God wants to accomplish in us and through us this year. And if you're not a Christian, please be our guest and stay tuned to this broadcast. You've been listening to good Christian music right here on WMAF, and now we want you to hear the Christian message and what God's plan and eternal purpose is for you today. Don't miss this broadcast. This is not something that you want to just take lightly and turn away from. This is a gift that is so valuable, so wonderful, so powerful. God has not given up on you today, so don't you give up on God. Praise the Lord. Amen. We love you today, and it is our desire to express God's love to you as we minister this year here on WMAF, as the Lord permits and allows, and as you tune in. And if you do appreciate this broadcast and appreciate this radio station, drop them a line there. Tell Country Girl about it. Tell some of those wonderful folks down at WMAF that you enjoy this radio station, this hometown radio station. We stream it here in Tampa because there's just nothing like this here. As big as Tampa is, I don't know about Orlando, Jacksonville, Pensacola, but I know in Tampa we don't have anything like WMAF. This is a unique radio station, and it is a blessing. Praise the Lord. So let them know they're in Madison. And we invite you that are listening by computer to come to our website, and you there in Madison that have computers, just type in THCOG. If you're on the World Wide Web, it will take you to our website. There are sermons on that website that span 37 years of ministry here in Tampa, and they're all up to date because God's Word is timeless and God never changes. There are recent ones from recent church services, and then there are sermons that span down through the years. And our media minister, led of the Holy Spirit, places them on the website for there's no charge at all, no strings attached. We want people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and we want Christians to grow in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to talk about the potter and the clay. We're going to talk about some things today that begin in ancient Israel in the national life of that chosen covenant people into our own personal lives today in the 21st century. God's purpose for man that has fallen because of sin hasn't changed. Amen. He wants to save us, and He wants to begin a work in us, and He wants to perform it and complete it in us. Praise God. And there is a lesson to be learned down at the potter's house, and we want to read about that today out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verse 1 through 6. And I do want to read a scripture before we read that. This would be addressed particularly to ministers today that are facing the dilemma many times of bringing forth a God's word that He might achieve His purpose in His people, and finding it very difficult to find people willing, in many cases, to cooperate with the eternal purpose of God in their life after He saves them. And let me tell you how discouraged Jeremiah became before we get to this beautiful lesson that God showed him to encourage him, actually, in Jeremiah 18. Let me read Jeremiah 9, 1 and 2. I just feel today to speak initially for just a few moments to those that are in the preaching, teaching ministry. Here's where Jeremiah had come to early on in his ministry. Let me read it. You may relate to it, and I'm going to make a few comments, and we're going to move swiftly forward. Jeremiah 9, 1 and 2. Oh, that my eyes were a fountain of tears. I would weep forever. I would sob day and night for the slain of my people. You see, sin had allowed enemies to begin to do what a righteous people could never and would never experience, for God would have defended them. And he said in verse 2, oh, that I could go away and forget them and live in some wayside shack in the desert, for they are all adulterous and treacherous men. This is a classic case of burnout, and no one can fault Jeremiah for feeling this way. Someone said it was Monday morning in the preacher's study and Jeremiah was ready to resign. Yesterday had been a disaster. He had preached his heart out, and when he gave the invitation, the only movement was the cafeteria crowd slipping out the back door. The main criticism of Jeremiah's preaching was that it was all just too negative. Repent, repentance, that's all we hear, the congregation said. Why not some good news? Why doesn't our preacher ever tell us what God wants to do for us? It's always what we're supposed to do for God. So Jeremiah carefully put together his resume to send to his preacher friends. Born in Anathoth, he wrote, son of Hilkiah, the priest, called by God while still in his mother's womb, for 42 years a prophet to the nations, sensitive but not successful, preaches hard but with few positive results. The story has been updated, but you get the picture. Jeremiah is in a classic case of burnout, and two prime characteristics of burnout are self-pity and anger toward others. Listen to Jeremiah and you be the therapist. Oh, that I could go away and forget them and live in some wayside shack in the desert, for they're all adulterous and treacherous men. According to recent statistics, and I'm involved with a pastor's group that meets here in Tampa that are affiliated and really founded by all pro pastors, and you might go online if you want to take a look at that. And it's to get pastors together, because 1,700 ministers leave the ministry a month. It pushes upward to 20,000 a year here in the United States and other places that leave the ministry because of burnout. Whatever the reason, that phenomenon is taking place statistically. And the message of the Potter's House declares that God is a personal Father who cares, and not a God who merely wound up the world with a key and then sent away it to run by itself. God's grace is a certainty, even among the turmoil of that day and the turmoil of our day. Because God is still God. He's still all-powerful. He still has a plan and a purpose for the national life of Israel and the personal life of every believer today. And if you're not a Christian, he still has a plan for you. And our God is at work right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, sirs and ma'am, but I need the encouragement when I see so many people going their own way and doing their own thing. I need the encouragement to continue to hold the standard and to preach with enthusiasm and expectation, even if initially we don't see the result. We need the encouragement and the information that God gives us down at the Potter's house. So turn with me to Jeremiah 18, verse 1 through 6. The word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Praise God. I'm so glad that we serve a God that just doesn't give up on us. Praise the Lord. I'm a Christian today because God didn't give up on me. And I'm still preaching today, not because I'm such a strong, committed person, but because God has never given up on me, even when I was discouraged. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you're a Christian today, I want you to know down at the potter's house, we're going to see that there is pardon for the past and there is peace for the present, and there is promise for the future. Praise the Lord. We see several important principles in these verses of Scripture that specifically addresses Israel as a nation, but that also addresses our own personal lives as Christians, and also addresses your life today if you don't know Jesus, because I want you to know that He knows you. He loves you. And His great purpose initially is to save you, but I want you to know when He saves you, He's only beginning the work. It's not completed until the consummation of His eternal purpose, and we're going to let you see that if you stay with us a while longer today. First, let us consider the potter, the master, the one who has the power to do this in our life if we come to Him. God identifies Himself with the potter because He is the creator. He alone has the knowledge, the wisdom, the ability, and the power to create. Let me read to you from Isaiah 40, verse 25 and 26. It said, "To whom will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth." In other words, look up at the universe, running like clockwork. Look up at what God has done, and know that the reason there is not chaos but order in our universe is because God is strong in power. Praise God. Not one faileth, in the Amplified said, because He is strong in power, not one is missing or lacks anything. There's a strong implication that this portion of Scripture means as a shepherd leaves his sheep, not one is missing, none are lacking. We need a revelation of the magnitude of the power and might that is at this moment keeping us as Christians and working within us to accomplish God's purposes. Many of you that may hear this broadcast that are not Christians say, "I can't live the Christian life." And I keep telling you, if you keep listening, I'm going to keep telling you, you're absolutely right. God doesn't expect you to accomplish these kind of things on your own. But if the God who created the heavens lives in you and turns loose that creative power in your life, He can create that you need and lack, and that I need and certainly lack. And Paul put it this way. He said, it's no more I that live. It's Christ that liveth in me. And friend, if Christ lives in you, Christ can live through you. Praise the Lord. He's not asking you to change yourself and then show him that you're worthy of being saved. He's asking you to come just like you are. Receive Christ as your Savior and let him who saves you begin to work within you. Praise the Lord. The power that created the universe and keeps it in perfect order is no less than the power that is active in every Christian who will truly yield to God's Spirit and the Lordship of Jesus. Think of it. This Creator and creative God with such intense love and immense power desires to save you and work a work in your life. Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. One modern translation reads, the heavens are telling the glory of God. They are a marvelous display of his handiwork. Handiwork, according to Webster, is a work done by hand, the product of personal effort. This is the intense desire of the Spirit of God that our lives become so affected by God's power and purpose that we are His highest order of creation. Declare His glory and become a marvelous display of His handiwork. Listen to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 in the New Covenant. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him, literally the excellence and virtue of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The Amplified said that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him. Friend, today if you're a Christian, we are the product of God's grace displayed so that the world may see in our lives the goodness of our God to all will come to Him by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:10 said, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And again, I want to refer to a modern translation that says, for we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Jesus Christ, born anew. Praise God. Friend of mine, I want you to know that if God gets the opportunity to work in your life, He will release into your life the same power, the same creative ability that hung the stars and the moon and the sun in place and put them to work in its perfect order. And if that ever gets turned loose inside of you, inside of me, amen, God, it will do wondrous things to accomplish His purposes in and through our life. I'm excited about this new year. It's just like every time the calendar turns over, I'm looking for God to do wondrous things. Praise the Lord. God can make you anything that you want to be, but you must put everything in His hands. Praise God. Isaiah 64 and verse 8 talks about the material, the clay. It says, but now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and Thou art our potter, and we are all the work of Thine hands. God is both Father and our potter. He creates the clay, and He crafts the clay. He both makes it and He molds it. And the first thing that God is looking for is not your ability, friend. He's looking for you to be available. God is willing and able to work a work. We must present our lives to Him in consecration to become the material the Master seeks to use Amen. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. That means responding to His love, His mercy, His grace. Paul is pointing the Christian back to Calvary, back to the foot of the cross where Jesus suffered and died for us. And he said, I beseech you in light of that kind of love that you express love back to him in this way. That's what he's saying, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be no more conformed to this world. Isn't it amazing that Satan wants to use us as clay as well? Conformed to the world literally means pressed into the world's mold. Satan wants to mold us after the fallen world and after his own nature. And the scripture said that until we come to Christ, we're of our father, the devil, and his work we will do. We're part of the fall. We're part of the fallen Adam's race. But Jesus came to save us, redeem us, and do a new work within us. Praise God. That's why Paul said, offer yourself to him. Come to Christ and be saved, and then yield to Christ so that his work can be done in your life. Amen. Don't let the world press you into its mold, but get up on the potter's wheel and let God go to work in your life. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be no more conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We are only clay. That is true. But we are clay in His hands if we're Christian today. This is the glorious hope. We are no longer conformed to the world. We can be transformed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, God loves you so much today. And the Bible said the way this process takes place in the New Covenant, as we behold as in a glass, literally in a mirror, His face, we are transformed into His image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, you can't do this yourself. But as we come into God's presence, as we go to God's Word, as we yield ourselves to Him, as we begin to want to cooperate with His eternal purpose, you see, Jesus is the model that God is using for every vessel that He touches. The Bible said very clearly in Romans 8 and verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestine to be conformed, see the molding hand of God, to the image of His Son. Praise God. That's a tall order, isn't it, that God wants us to be like His Son. And I'm going to go on record as saying today there's not one person down here that has achieved that. We're growing toward that. And God works in us toward that holy purpose. But all of us are progressively and should be progressively being transformed toward His image from glory to glory and by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, when God's Spirit gets turned loose in a life that is yielded to Him because we are loving Him back for loving us, God continues a mighty work within us. Maybe that work has been put on hold in you because you've walked away from the Lordship of Jesus. I'm praying today that this message will help you get that sense of purpose and power back in your life, that you will get back up on the potter's wheel. You know, I can't visualize an unfinished vessel running away from the potter, because when he finds a flaw in it, he doesn't throw the vessel away. He just takes that flaw out And then he continues to fashion and shape that vessel. Amen? And what he needs is a yielded life. He does the work, but he won't force our will. And today, if you'll offer yourself to him, the whole of your being, everything you are, everything you have, and let Jesus be the true master and Lord of your life, he will begin to do the work of the potter. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't make myself more like Jesus. The more I try, the more I'm going to mess it up. But God can work a work in me. And I pray with all of my heart this coming year, amen, that instead of lowering the standard, we will hold the standard. And the standard is nothing less than being conformed to the image of his Son. You're listening to this broadcast today and you're not a Christian, and you know Christians that look nothing like Jesus yet. Well, friend of mine, I want you to know that the potter has a purpose, and not all of us are cooperating with that purpose. But don't let that throw you today. God can work a work in you. In fact, the New Testament said, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God by his Spirit, through his word, that works in our life to achieve his holy purpose for our life. It is top shelf for every child of God, amen, in this brand new year. Today you're not a Christian. You see flaws in Christians. God wants to work in those lives. God's not going to give up on those folk. But don't let that sway you. Don't let that convince you that, see, I can't live this life either. There's no point in me trying. That's a lie from the mouth of the enemy who wants to conform you into his image and wants to press you into the mold of this fallen world. Listen, God wants to deliver you from Satan's power and influence. But he wants to bring you simultaneously unto his influence and power in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I pray today that you will catch a glimpse of God as a holy, divine, powerful, creative potter, and that you will come to him as clay that is soft and humbled, that can be molded. The first thing God's going to do is accept you, friend, just like you are. That great hymn that used to close so many of the great Billy Graham meetings all over the world says it best. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that you beckon me, come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I'm going to challenge you, if you don't know Christ today, to come. Israel had failed miserably, but God had not given up on that nation. And friend, you may have failed miserably, but God has not given up on you. Jeremiah needed to know God has not given up on Israel, even though they have not listened, even though they are hurting because sin has led their enemies to harm them. But God is a covenant-keeping God, full of mercy and full of grace. And God has not given up on Israel. And today, friend, you who may have rebelled and hurt has come into your life, and now you've been softened by that hurt and you're ready to bow to him. And you're wondering, will he accept me? Will he save me? Can he do anything in my life that is riddled with pain and heartbreak, failure and defeat? I'm telling you today, the potter is waiting for you to come. He's ready to take out the flaw. But above all, he's ready to do a work in you that you can't do in yourself. And he begins just like you are. He begins by you coming and say, Lord, I won't run from you anymore. I'm running to you. Save me. Sanctify me. And do a work in me. Ah, friend, would you come back next week? and let's talk about Jesus.
And it's no secret that we don't belong here, though set apart by the grace of you. We look for the day when we go to a place where the old becomes brand new. In you, where the hungry feast at the table, the blind frozen by colors in view, the lame will dance, they'll dance for they are able, and the weary find a rest, oh, the weary find a rest. In you, where the hungry feast at the table, blind frozen by colors in view, the lame will dance, they'll dance for they are able, and the weary find a rest.